shirt. In my cowardice, I even prayed that Lizzie, the hostess, wouldn't sit you in my section, but then again, I knew she would. The place was empty that night, and everyone there knew I needed the tips because I could only work weekends, no school nights. She was being nice to me because she, like everyone there, felt sorry for me, the youngest, least skilled waitress in the place. But there you were. So I pulled myself together and went to give you menus, and even when I rattled off the specials, I didn't once screw up or give myself away in any way, of which I'm still proud. You didn't glance away from your wife's face and look at me. You both looked so flushed and happy, like you were popping in for a greasy snack after rolling in bed all afternoon. You only had eyes for each other. It would have been just another ordinary night. You eat, you pay, you tip, and you leave, to go back to bed, maybe. But then a miracle happened, a miracle that sent my whole world spinning off its orbit, a true sign from above. After I cleared away your plates and put in the order for your dessert, cherry pie with ice cream, 2 spoons, of course, I found myself overwhelmed, needing a moment alone. I raced to the bathroom and locked myself in a stall to catch my breath. Okay, to slip my hand inside the elastic waist of my uniform pants and touch myself. But no matter how furiously I rubbed myself through my panties, it just wasn't happening. I hovered on the brink, frustration growing and threatening to crest into something uglier. That's when I heard the door open and froze. If anyone caught me hiding out in the bathroom, I might get in trouble. I pulled my legs up onto the toilet seat so they couldn't see me. Your wifey's sneakered feet shuffled past. I couldn't have missed these sneakers, hot pink edged in fluorescent yellow, the kind rich ladies wear to their workouts and to run weekend errands. My own work sneakers were once plain white but turned gray, a generic brand. Bought on sale. I stared at their toes the whole time she was there, in the stall next to mine. She knelt on the floor, ignoring the scattered bits of tissue, black yoga pants strained at her hips, and the unmistakable sounds of retching followed almost immediately. I'll never know whether she was making herself puke like those girls at school. It's not important. I remember watching her get up, and then 1 foot came off the floor and the toilet flushed. The door of the stall clacked open, the rush of tap water followed, and after it, the cacophony of the hand dryer. At last, the door squeaked softly closed behind her. I burst out of the stall, a mess of relief and giddiness, and then I saw it, the miracle. Sitting there on the edge of the sink, in a little puddle of soapy water, was her engagement ring. Old-looking, an antique or heirloom. I imagined your mother giving it to you, passed down from some great-great-grandmother, to be given to the woman of your heart someday. A big emerald glimmered darkly in a setting of tiny diamonds and platinum leaves. And she left it in the bathroom of a shitty chain restaurant, thoughtlessly slid it off her soapy finger and plunked it down on the cracked porcelain like it was a cheap bit of costume jewelry. That's when I knew. I knew she didn't deserve you. And I knew I would, take you away from her, no matter what it took. A higher being was on my side, and he sent me the ring as an omen. I snatched it off the sink and put it in a place where no one would find it, even if, when, she noticed and raised a stink, and in case the manager wanted to search all of us. But I knew it wouldn't happen. Fate was on my side. Chapter 1. Byron let me sleep in this morning. There. That way it sounds nicer than my husband snuck out of the house while I was still asleep. Because that's exactly what happened and what's been happening every day of the week so far, and we're at Thursday.